My initial reason for picking this passage was that it reveals that Claire and Coop's stories thus far have all been in Anna's imagination. I sort of passed over that detail when first reading through the book, and I felt overall that the novel could have been written straight, with the assumption that all these characters and their stories as told in the third person had actually happened, at least when they're in the novel, I mean, not historically. It seemed as such that the first book of the novel had spiraled forwards and away from the shattering incident on Coop's deck towards that time when Raphael and Anna meet and then walk to where the river and the road intersect on page 166, which is sort of where I see larger intersections taking place and sort of the novel starting to sort of turn backwards into time. And I assumed that the second and third books moved in a circular motion backwards in time from that moment into the histories of the French families. So what does this added element of imagination bring to our understanding of how the novel moves through time and space? I noticed that early in the novel, before the scene on the deck, that Coop was described as a really good card player, and I wonder if Coop's later story is to be interpreted as germinating from such a detail, and what other details we might find to corroborate or argue against this way of looking at just sort of how the novel is formed. This is also the only place where we directly get Claire's voice, which is another reason that I picked this passage. I wanted to sort of attempt that distinction between Claire and Anna's voices, despite my barely having one voice with which to read, let alone two. It's interesting that Anna, through her story, dedicates so much of her efforts into the archival and discovery of the web of personages surrounding Lucien Seguro, and that she focuses herself on his notebooks and his manuscripts, but that here she works through her sister's journal, which she took from the house before leaving. With its dates and with its sort of near exclusion of any personal relationships that we're familiar with, for example, who are Keen and Bobby, and Anna's only mentioned once, it feels really sterile, sort of like, you know, an academic text that you might use or a direct source. So is Anna absorbing her sister into her writing, or is she distancing herself from her through this kind of this analysis, because she's so distanced from Lucienne, and in that way, I wonder if the distance, if she's sort of making a parallel distance, or if this is an act of absorption and comparison. The detail that Anna always begins her stories with Claire sort of hands the novel over to Anna, insofar as the novel itself begins with Claire on her horse, as narrated by Anna. This recalls the line from David Copperfield, as recited by the truck driver, which is, "Whether I shall turn out to be the hero of my own life, or whether that station will be held by anyone else, these pages must show." So a story can be our own, as this one is Anna's, but who is it ultimately about? So I think that's sort of the idea here of who is the stilled twin. The novel is constantly refocusing itself according to this question, as each character whose story we hear then sort of has a story about someone else. So how does this relate to Nietzsche's quote about art, that art keeps us from being destroyed by the truth? How does art shield us, especially how does the story shield us? How do narrative roles, hero and storyteller, relate to distance? To what extent are these roles real, and to what extent do we make them up? Why does Anna focus on arguing for these like apparently mutually exclusive roles of the serious sister and the adventurous one? And sort of along those lines, a final close note on pronouns in this passage. Several sentences at the beginning of the section begin with I imagine, I don't know, I am a person. First of all, this is a running pattern throughout the novel, where chapters and sections begin by referring to characters just with pronouns instead of their names. I think this speaks to the interchangeability of these many characters, because it evokes a slight uncertainty in us as we hunt for clues as to who we're reading about. And that makes us think about, that also brings our attention to who else what we're reading could be about. Secondly, in this section, we know who the I is, who the narrative I is. We know that it's Anna. So it's kind of striking and unexpected when she says, "It is in fact I, Anna, who should be identified as the serious sister." It's a formal phrasing to begin with, and there's also something plaintive about the way she inserts her name there, as if she's trying to insist her individual identity through her name and reminds us who is speaking, which resonates with how Coop twice mixes up their names and the kind of insecurity that this seems to generate. And it also comes into conflict with how sort of meaningless names are at points in the novel, how easily they can be replaced, like in the case of Astolf, Raphael's father, or in Lucien's romantic novels, where characters are just renamed and thus disguised. So that's sort of a tension to also explore.